Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio, also Apple, Spotify. We don't have time to say exactly every place that we're on, but we're on a lot of places.
We'll just hashtag it on Instagram. Yeah.
If you have a podcast catcher, you're catching this. And I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. I got to flip this back around. And I'm going to get my, there we go. That doesn't really do it. I've got my co-host here, and I'm going to show her on camera in just a moment.
Oh, boy.
Oh, goodness. Let's see here. I got this newfangled camera, and we just don't have time for this shit. Okay, here we go. There she is, here. Hannah Bach. She hates being on camera, but
I do.
Everybody's favorite heavy metal DJ. We have just the best show, and this would have been great as an hour, but unfortunately, the previous show, I'm trying to get the name from the producer. She's not going to tell me, but it went over. So we got 40 minutes to talk to two of the most fascinating people in Hollywood. Brought to you by Audible, audibletrial.com/DMS. Doomy's Home Cooking, 1253 Vine Street. Best vegan food ever. We have Beth Lapidus.
Hola.
There she is. Beth Lapidus, the woman that changed the art form of comedy. You know how comedy is cool?
Yes.
That's because of her.
Wow.
Thank you.
I sound great.
You are great.
Wasn't comedy uncool when you started?
It was so uncool, yes. It was quar.
Oh, it's awful. And now everybody wants to be a comedian, and I was going to ask you about that.
Everybody wants to be a comedian. Comedians are trying to get out of it, but everybody else is trying to get in. Every comedian wants to be a TV star, but everybody else wants to be a comedian.
You missed Beth the first time she was here, I think.
I did, unfortunately.
Yeah. And you also,
sorry.
You also missed... Savannah Pope is right there. She's performed at the Uncabaret.
I have, yeah. I used to perform there like once a month.
Yes, well, we were doing the weekly shows, which we've done for about, so long.
Yeah.
And you had a nice little residency with us.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was
so
fun.
You'll be back soon. Yeah.
Yeah, and Uncab has a great house band, too.
Right.
That is very nice of you to mention.
Well, it's absolutely
Mitch Kaplan,
true.
Denise
Frazier on drums.
She's awesome.
And we have Chris Jacks now on guitar and bass at Rockwell, the new venue.
Right.
And every now and then, they've got a badass dude on sax dropping by.
Yes, we do. Every now and then. The anniversary show, we had a 10-piece band. That was fun.
That's so
cool. We're going to talk about the anniversary show in just a minute, but Savannah, not only... I'm going to go see both of you this weekend. This is going to be a good weekend.
That is a good weekend.
Because I'm going to see Savannah at the Troubadour on Saturday.
This lady can sing. This lady has a voice like no other.
Yes, she does. And your video, it was a good year for both of you because your video was... chosen one of the 20 best videos on Yahoo. Childish Gambino's number one. Yeah, you can't really argue with that. But we were there with Drake, Jay-Z, Beyonce, everybody else. And your album, or is it album or EP? What's going on? Because it was an EP last time.
It was
going
to be an EP originally, and then now it's an album.
And that's coming soon?
It's coming April 26th.
I can't wait to hear it on the streaming site that I have a free trial on. And... Hannah,
yes.
I played you some of Savannah's music. What did you think?
I did. I thought it was beautiful. You have a gorgeous voice. I played it for my granddad, and he's not shy about voicing his opinion, and he thought it was gorgeous, and he can't wait to hear you actually sing in studio.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. Ruined the surprise. Anyway, so...
Sorry, guys.
No, that's okay.
Careful what you wish for. I'm genuinely a bad guitar player, but we'll see.
I'm sure it's going to be delightful as always. Beth, let's start with you.
All right.
I was going to say it was a good year for you, or a big year for you.
Big year.
In that you had the 25th anniversary of the Uncabaret.
Yes.
Of changing comedy.
Yeah, of changing comedy.
Changing comedy.
Yes. Setting out to change something and then doing it. And I just can't listen and not say not alone, obviously.
Right.
A lot of people were part of that. It was a movement.
Right.
I was just the only one that didn't get bored of it.
Did I read correctly? Because I know you did. You were saying that you did it at the woman's house. Women's building. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Was there some bookstore that you did it before you were at Luna Park? Did I read something? Was that the woman's?
No, we did it at the women's building, then Highways.
Okay.
Performance space, and then Luna Park.
And you had the big show, the 25th anniversary show at the Ace Hotel, which I did not get to see. I'm so bummed that I did not. But apparently 1,600 people.
It was a night.
Yes.
It was a night.
The
yes.
biggest show that you've ever had.
It was a big night. A lot of people.
I mean, not the biggest show you performed at, but the biggest show on Cabaret has done.
Yeah, no, it was huge. It was an incredible audience, and that venue is spectacular, and the talent was, Sublime, Patton Oswalt, Bob Odenkirk, Julia Sweeney, Maria Bamford,
Sandra Bernhard,
all in one show, you know, yeah. and more. Scott Thompson, Andy right. Kindler.
Did I read right
and that? More, yeah. Byron Bowers. It was really crazy. It was like so long and crazy long and great.
Yeah,
it was so much fun.
What? How did you feel when you were performing, and actually when you went off stage and saw the other performers?
Well, I always sat to the side of the stage. I was there all night, back and forth, in and out. You know, chatting on the back mic as I will. It was an incredible performance experience because it was a lot of new people, actually. I mean, I talked to the people and it was like, who hasn't been here? You know, it wasn't just like, oh, everybody who, you know, been here before and, right. you know, just the inner circle. People brought new people and people heard about it. And there were a lot of people who hadn't, it wasn't, just, I didn't want it to be like you had to be in with the in crowd and have been at the show a million times right. to have loved this celebration. I wanted this celebration to open it up
right.
and bring it to a new level and new people. And we did do that. And that made me excited.
I mean, the 25th anniversary, but when you have people like Bob Odenkirk, who's now, you know, Emmy Award winner, you got, you know, Patton Oswalt, people, anytime there's a crisis, people go to his Twitter page. They started with you.
Yes.
I mean, they really did.
And some,
Maria Bamford,
But then there was, you know, Alex Edelman told an unforgettable story. People didn't even know who he was, a lot of people. And he was spectacular. And
still breaking
new comics.
True
of,
oh, I love
him. You know, Byron Bowers, and that was true of Rebecca Corey. So it was really important for me to mix generationally the people who have come through the different phases and make it clear that this was not. Because it did feel a little bit like maybe this is like a celebration end of, you know, maybe this is it.
Because the performance space you were doing it at.
It was over. So we weren't going to go back to that. And where were we going to go? We didn't know. And I also knew I couldn't keep doing a weekly show in that way because I just have a lot of other stuff I need to do. You know, I have a lot of other writing that's getting done now without a weekly. You know, I need to get back to my own performing in a way outside of On Cabaret that I can't do. But, you know, the whole comedy landscape has shifted. And I considered stopping, but I do really love On Cabaret.
Right.
So we went to monthly.
Now, a couple questions about the 25th anniversary show before I move on to that.
Okay, sure.
First off, I read that Scott Thompson had never performed out of drag before On Cabaret. Scott Thompson from the Kids in the
Hall.
That
was true, yeah.
And you encouraged him to go out.
That was true. He watched... In the hall, when we sat at Luna Park, there was a stairway, and he watched for a long time. You know, he was friends with a lot of the people, and he would watch. And so we talked about him doing it, and he said he wanted to do it, and blah, 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 blah. So he's standing there the first time he's going to do it, and he's holding a wig. And I was like, what are you going to do with the wig? And he's like, you know, it's for my character. And I was like, that's the one rule. Like, that's the rule. No characters. You're yourself. Right. That's what it is. Oh, I can't go on stage. You know, and just... And then he said, fine, I'll go on stage and I'll tell people you won't let me come on as a character and I'll tell everyone what's happening. I said, go ahead, tell everyone exactly what's happening. And he did, and it broke the ice.
And it was very fun.
It was great. And that was the first time, yeah.
And I also, I'm blank. Is it Jill Soloway, the showrunner for Transparence?
Correct.
And Julie Sweeney were on the same show.
Yes.
And... You know where I'm going with this.
I don't. Is there a fight I don't know about?
Well, no. Jill had said that it's Pat.
Was an
offensive portrayal of a transsexual.
Right. Well, you know what? Julia addresses that in her... I can't remember if she did it at the anniversary show or if she did it subsequently. It's in her one-person show.
Right.
And she's told it on Cabot. God, the nights.
She said something about she's the Al Jolson.
Yeah, she looked at it really, and she watched it with her daughter. And I mean, we were talking beforehand about going back and looking at old stuff, and you know, certain old comedies now seem rapey, and you know, la la. Anyway, she went back.
Morgan, your podcast burst your bubble. It's Pat.
So you know, she went back and looked at it herself, and it's really interesting to hear her. You know, and she was like, "No, that was the whole point. It was about the people who thought that, not about Pat." So, right. But it's interesting, yeah.
But it filtered through a mainstream audience
yeah,
sometimes.
It was interesting, yeah. Very interesting. Very self-conscious. I mean, Julie is so conscious, you know. So.
Right. And so, I mean, it just sounds like it was a great time. And yeah. It went on for like 3 hours?
It did. It was over 3 hours. And I told people ahead of time how long it was going to be. And I said, you've all been on flights longer than this. So, you know, I loathe an intermission. And we just did, you know.
Right.
And it was, you know, it was very high energy because it was a night where, I mean, you say, you know, you changed comedy and I go, huh. But, you know, there was a sense at the in all those years ago that comedy was, it was very routinized. It was very rigid. Mm-hmm. It was very guys in white ties. It was white. It was, tight tens. It was trying to get, you know,
sitcoms.
Part of the thing is there was a economy that doesn't exist anymore, but that mm-hmm. economy was, you know, you get a holding deal, you get a sitcom, you get rich, you become, you know,
right.
And that, for better or for worse, is very blown apart now. But even in the day, comedians were really, I mean, it all rubbed me the wrong way. I came from the art world. I couldn't even bear the caricatures on the walls in comedy clubs. I was like, it's bad art, you guys. It's bad art. But, you know, and I've talked about this ad nauseum, but, you know, it's an awful, we were talking about this backstage, you know, being a, you know, rock and roll girl, being a comedian girl. It's not as bad as it used to be, but... I mean, I do remember, you know, this was before Andrew Dice Clay was A Star Is Born. But, you know, when he was doing his character, and, you know, it was so hateful towards women. And mm-hmm. I remember standing backstage having to follow him. And I just don't have the heart to do it, you know, because I don't want I was hating him. I was hating the audience. I was hating myself for hating them. I don't do well with hate. Right. I'm not that girl. And I just kept thinking there's got to be a better way. And so... You know, with this idea of there's got to be a better way, it wasn't until then I performed at the Women's Building and they were laughing too hard. And I said to them, you know, when was the last time you laughed? They said, we don't laugh. And I said, I'll make you a show. It'll be unhomophobic, xenophobic, unmisogynist. Right. It'll be the end cabaret.
Did you cringe when you saw him in Star Is Born?
I got a little bitter.
Andrew Dice Clay was in Star Is Born,
like,
you weren't.
Fucking working. Sorry, language. But, look, if any people can change part of it, I mean, the thrill of On Cabaret for me is I thought comedy could be better. I thought comedy could be more inclusive and open and different and more, not just that, but.
Do you think it is, or do you think it's still got ways to go?
Sure, both things. It is. It's, but at least possible for it to be that now. All of it isn't, and it never will be, but that possibility is now real. And. To me, I need to believe that people can change, and I need to believe that the world can change, mm-hmm. or I can't go on. So the only way to do that is to be someone who can change,
right?
To change yourself, and there, you know, change what you can. That's you, and work on it. And I have seen On Cabaret change. I've seen comedy change. It is very heartening. It helps when you look at what's happening in the news to go, okay, change is possible.
Well, here's what's weird. I was listening to the last...
I'm sorry, that was a little long.
No, that's fine.
I heard you get bored. I'm sorry.
You did not hear me get bored. But no, you did not hear me get bored. But I know you had that prepared. I'm trying to do an uncabaret and get you out of the prepared material.
I didn't have that prepared. That's just my truth.
That's your strength.
I didn't know I was going to say that.
Okay.
I just believe it so hard it sounds prepared.
She's merely eloquent.
I know she's eloquent. But I was going
to
ask, because I was astonished because I was listening to the show last when you were on.
Yeah, yeah.
And please go to the archives. You'll hear all about how you changed alternative comedy. We don't need to talk about that anymore.
I'm done with that, yeah.
But you actually said something that was weird. That was weird because you said it, and then I saw it on The Fabulous Mrs. Maisel.
What's that?
You said, I would go to clubs and people would think I'm a singer.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, dialogue
I'm so
in
beautiful.
The Fabulous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah, you walk in. I mean, it's
What do you think of the show? And
what do I think of Mrs. Maisel?
Yeah.
Well, I loved season one. I have only watched half of the first episode of season two because Amazon and Google Chromecast, whatever it is that I have, they don't get along, and so I haven't made my way. I don't like to watch on. I don't like to watch on the computer. I work on the computer all day, and if I'm gonna watch a show, I really loved season one. It was so much fun to watch. I mean,
but the comedy. nobody in 1959 was calling their kids pussies on stage.
It's not realistic in any way.
I mean, she's doing comedy that's good now.
You understand it's not a realistic show,
right? I got that. No. And I like...
it's a cartoon.
I like the rest of it, but the comedy stuff, I'm like, wait a second.
Well, they're making it for an audience now. Right. You know, the clothes didn't actually look like that either. And Lenny Bruce would not have, you know... I mean, it's just, it's not real.
Okay.
It's a made-up thing. But as a made-up, as a fantasy, it's a fantasy. Mm-hmm. It's right. a fantasy show. Look at the creator's hats. I mean, she walks around. This is not realistic, and it's important to understand that it's as much about today in 1950s clothing as it is anything else.
But you got that.
I just made that up for you. I never thought that before.
But you got that in the 80s and 90s too.
Yeah. Are you the singer? I think I got it last week. I mean, you know, that's not made up, and that's real.
Right.
Because. Look, I'm not about my looks. I'm what I am.
You're a beautiful woman. Stop it.
Sure, you are a beautiful woman.
Thank you. But I'm not like, I'm not pretty. I'm not a certain kind of beautiful. I'm Jewish is what I'm saying. Right. I'm not like, I'm not a certain.
You're beautiful.
I'm a beautiful woman. But, you know, it's like that still.
Actually, another beautiful woman that I didn't know was Jewish.
You didn't know? Well, yeah.
Yeah, Savannah.
Yeah, this is sort of shiks a drag, this hair.
Right.
Yeah.
But she was saying about rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were actually reminiscing about the 90s and Hole and how great mm-hmm. and revolutionary that was.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that now. Females sell more records than men these days, but it's pop.
Yeah, it's purely pop. I mean,
rap.
Yeah, you see very few female rockers out there. I mean, as someone who plays a lot of rock shows,
right.
I'll oftentimes be the only girl on the bill.
Right. Has anybody ever said, are you the comic? Or
no.
No. Okay.
I have... No one's ever suggested that. Although sometimes I get shoved onto... Sometimes they'll be like, it's a female-fronted night.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, you all belong together. And it'll be 18 different fucking genres and bands that do not belong together at all.
Right.
And which is, in a way, almost as offensive
right.
to me, because I'm like, it's just...
Just because you're girls.
The only commonality that we have is
vagina.
Vagina, yeah.
But your video creature, last time you were talking about it, was super secret. It hadn't come out. Finally mm-hmm. came out.
Finally came out. Yeah, that fucker took me a long time.
It took you a year.
It took me a year.
And you have a new video
uh-huh.
that did not take you a year. Now, and I said Yahoo put it as one of the 10 best. You got some press out of it.
Well, Creature got the top 20 on Yahoo.
Right.
Rock and Roll No More, it just came out maybe five right. days ago. But... yeah, there's some press coming out on it that I know about. Again, I can't talk about
Well, can I ask you, I think I read something, your mother was involved in music videos?
Yeah, my mom was a music video producer for 20 years.
Okay, so...
But she quit when I was a little kid.
But did you ever come to her, say, with advice or anything? Or did you ever...
You know, I should have. It's so rude that I didn't. I mean, my dad's a cinematographer, too, and I also didn't go to him. I'm very turned off by nepotism in
right.
general, and I like to do things on my own when I can.
Right.
So...
Because my dad's a knife dealer. If I ever want to buy a knife, I'll ask him. But, you know.
Yeah.
But don't you think there's stuff... I always think... I am always jealous of people who grew up in show business because I feel like, I don't learn every single thing, but I know a lot about fabric. But yeah. Don't you think there's some stuff you just pick up, like, at... Not literally, but, like, at the dinner table?
Yeah, I mean... Well, yes,
were
but neither of my... But
were you ever on a set?
I was on the set all the time.
Yeah.
Both my parents worked, so I basically just, like, my dad would be like, here's a PA and whatever stage animal, like, pet it. I very clearly remember hanging out with just a bunch of orangutans during when he was shooting a Tang commercial.
What about the music videos? Were you ever on the set for those?
Music videos, yeah, but I didn't really know anything about it. Right. I mean, I remember the only, like, star moment that I remember is learning a G chord from Chris Isaak when I was maybe, like, 7.
Wow.
that's a thing.
That is a thing. And I love Chris Isaak, actually. Yeah. So that's pretty cool to me. But it wasn't a huge part of my life. And again, my mom quit when I was really young.
Right.
And then it's not like it's been a boon to me now because, you know, and I have been like, hey, do you know anyone who I can showcase my stuff to or anything like that? And she's like, I don't know anyone who's in the music industry now. So wow. It didn't even matter. But in terms of growing up in a family where you speak about art all the time and it definitely informed the way that I look at movies. I look at movies really, really closely.
You have a good eye. You were just Thanks. Born to it.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, I'm a pretty good photographer, and then, you know, I generally am pretty bossy when I do my own videos and what have you, and I usually, I taught myself how to edit when I was in art school just because I ended up doing a bunch of video projects, and so I edit most of my stuff as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's all in there for sure.
To get back to the best question that I rudely interrupted, I really did.
I'm sorry.
No, like, at the dinner table, do they talk about cinematography, editing, things like that? Like at the dinner table?
Well, they never talked about editing. Neither of my parents gave a shit about editing. Okay. In fact, I remember my dad telling a joke about editors one time, which was, you know what editors use for birth control? Their personality.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure he was just joking. I mean, I'm sure he loves plenty of editors. Right. So he just thought it was funny.
Well, you edited your videos frame by frame, so you can see why they're assholes.
We're really obsessive and really intense people. That's absolutely true.
Hannah, what did you think of the video Creature? The stop motion one.
I thought it was beautiful. I think everything you sent me was beautiful. And your outfits.
Oh, thank you.
And Rock and Roll No More. She wants that outfit.
I want that outfit.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's thank you very much.
So in love.
Yeah, that dress was really fun. And then the rest of it, I styled most of that.
Yeah, everything was wonderful. Oh, your thanks. Music, your just everything was fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, it was fun. I basically just got to dress people.
That's fun, too.
You got the kiss, the Grim Reaper. It was great.
Yeah, that's my friend Danielle.
Now, was it weird being in the coffin and having the coffin close
No, that wasn't too weird. It was such a clusterfuck. That was 3 days worth of material. We shot 3 days worth of material in the course of 12 hours for budget reasons.
Right.
Because I can only rent the space for 12 hours.
That's commendable.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. It's a space in South LA. They normally rent out like raw warehouse space there. But I really liked the exterior because it looked really post-apocalyptic and creepy. And we kept checking the calendar for weeks, and it was saying that it wasn't going to rain that day. And then, of course, that day it just rained like crazy. So I was... And we had to shoot outdoors. It was the whole concept. It was the whole thing. So we just had like an umbrella over the camera. Mm-hmm. And I'm lying face up in an open coffin with rain pelting down on me for like 5 hours. So it wasn't so much like being in the coffin that was eerie. It was more me being like, we got it directing from a coffin and having to get my makeup redone every hour.
Right.
Just
being damp.
and itchy. Ooh.
Yeah.
Wiping your glasses.
Also, I sang to a lot of the parts of me singing we did in slow motion because I wanted to see the rain.
Right.
So I had to sing to the song at 2.5 speed. So extra fast. Yeah, so I had to sing to the Chipmunk soundtrack. So I was like...
And your band was playing double speed?
The track was on double speed, yeah.
Right, nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. And I'm so pissed at the Chodos before us because so much I want to talk about. You're at the Rockwell
now.
We can
all come back.
Yes, let's do something. Let's do a 2-hour show.
But we're here now.
2-hour show
Rockwell.
With the four of you. You're at the Rockwell.
Rockwell.
I just moved to Los Feliz.
Ah, the Happies.
Yes, aww. I'm right walking distance from the Rockwell. I got out of the valley. I escaped the valley.
Good for you. let's have a moment on that.
Yeah, you're in the deep valley.
People do change.
Yeah, I was in Tarzana. Oh,
welcome home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the Rockwell is a very historic place.
Not that there's anything wrong with Tarzana.
Tarzana's fine.
Rockwell is an amazing venue. It was a beautiful room.
It used to be Sarno's.
Yep. Singing waiters.
Yes. The Sarno's was there from the 30s?
I think so.
Yeah. And they still have the Sarno's sign above the Rockwell sign.
Yeah, yeah.
The Rockwell also, Hannah, is where... Yeah, I always, you hate when I put the camera on. is where Jeff Goldblum does his jazz and flirts with all the girls.
Yeah, I see that a lot on my feed. Yeah.
The plethora of selfies with Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah,
everybody has a
the lion's share of that is taken outside of the Rockwell.
When I was waiting to get tickets while my date was sitting at the bar, where she wasn't supposed to be, they had a picture of Jeff Goldblum, like Goldblum every Wednesday. But as much as the other space was, that was the other space was called.
Yeah. We don't have to talk about it because it's not there anymore.
Right. Yeah. That one was nice. This is nicer.
Nicer. Mm. That's right. And it's more convenient.
More convenient.
And more people can come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a bigger venue.
Everything's good.
And when I saw it, sold out.
It was nice.
And it should have been sold out because Julia Sweeney was performing. She was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then Alec Maple was on. He was great.
It was a very one-time-only show.
It was,
we had tried to do every show, one night only.
Unfortunately, I missed Meryl Marco, who's a comedy legend, and I also missed the musician that
night. Oh, you had to leave because of the...
Yeah, she had this. Yeah,
she was trouble.
But this and, yeah, whatever. Anyway, the less said about her, the better.
But, Mark!
No, it's what are you going to do?
You know what? You brought someone. That's why I say you feel... You took an adventure.
I actually brought her to see Savannah when she opened for Gacy DC, and that's why I didn't say hello to you, because she's like, oh, let's go to this other bar. Oh, okay, whatever.
Right. So
but the thing is, I think you have a venue that is this the best venue you've had on Cabaret yet?
I love this venue. I mean, Luna Park is legendary and was truly a great, great venue. I don't want to say one was better than the other. Right. Luna Park was, you know, it's a very similar in vibe because it's a whole emporium, there's other rooms, people having fun. You feel it's a fun place to go.
There's a sense of grandeur there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Luna Park had that too.
Right.
It has a lot. It's very connected to Luna Park and feel.
It was a big crowd, but
it's bigger.
It was a big crowd, but it seemed intimate.
It's so glad you used that word. That is one of... That was the thing about the Ace too. 1,600 people, but it's an intimate room. You know, rooms have intimacy or they don't.
Right.
You know, and it can be a giant room and have it, and it can be a tiny room and not have it.
Right.
And Rockwell really does have it. It's a very intimate room.
Right. Yeah. Were you worried you wouldn't find a venue?
Sure, of course.
How long did you try to find one?
Well, it didn't take that long, really. I mean, I didn't really look while we were doing the anniversary show stuff because I just knew that we had to. Sometimes you just have to take the first step. You know, you have to take a step and see where you are before you can take the next step. And I mean, I was kind of looking and I was uncertain, and I wanted to know before the anniversary show, but I also knew it was going to be hard to figure out exactly. So we said it. I mean, we did the anniversary show November 18th, and we did the first show at Rockwell on January 13th. So it wasn't that long.
That doesn't sound. Yeah, I'm late to the game as usual. I just found out that you were doing it at the Rockwell. It's great, but you you did this great. I know. You did this great bit about, and I'm sorry I got you 7-Eleven coffee instead of Starbucks.
I'm working on it.
But because you did a great bit about getting Starbucks coffee.
Oh, that was funny. Yeah.
But anyway. They got
that
your name
was
wrong.
Funny.
Yes,
not just wrong, but
I was gonna,
very particularly wrong.
Yeah, because I was actually
math.
Yeah, math.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was standing there very confused. It was the day the thing came out, that very confusing report, and we're all just like, what does it all mean? And
I'm looking, Mueller report, yeah.
And I'm looking, oh, I'm so confused.
Oh,
and then
the one that we never got to read.
Yeah, and they just started calling math, and I'm like, oh my God, that's me. He thinks I'm math. And I'm just, anyway.
I love that.
I was so wanted to go to Starbucks and say I was math, but.
I know.
But
I sometimes say my name is Dolly, because then the people behind the counter all break into, hello, Dolly. On occasion, it does happen. But now, once you have the app, they know your name's Beth. So whatever.
I wonder if the Dalai Lama gets that.
I
bet he does.
Right?
Yeah.
No, actually, Stuttering John from Howard Stern went up to him and said, does anybody ever come to you and say, go up to you and say, hello, Dolly?
He laugh?
No, he laughed. Richard Gere, like, tried to drag him away from him. He laughed. He thought it was funny.
He has a good sense of humor. Yeah. He's a giggler.
Yeah.
No,
he started giggling. He's a giggler. Richard Gere's, like, dragging him away.
Well, he meditates for like 14 hours a day.
He should be a giggler.
Yes.
Right.
I once heard him on Larry King go, he points to his arm and goes, you have this, you have pain. You have pain. He's just like, the nature of life is pain. Isn't that hilarious? I mean, that's the Dalai Lama.
Well, that's a good way to look at life.
If you can meditate,
very Lars von Trier.
And this is the worst segue, because what we're going to hear is going to be anything but painful, That's Savannah singing a song.
Oh, okay. Are we still doing that?
Yes, we are.
I have to insist on it, and then we're going to wrap it up.
And then we are going to wrap. We're all going to go to our dinners
and gigs.
We're
all going to go to our dinners and gigs.
And then we're going to reconvene as we are
here. Yes, we'll try to get May or June, we'll try to get everybody together.
Everybody's going to get back together, but meanwhile, reach out to us while Savannah gets ready to play.
I'm going to see both of you this weekend. And what song are you going to sing?
It's a new song. No one has heard it before. Well, aside from people in my rehearsal space. It's called Freeway. Oh, is this plugged in?
No, it's not plugged in.
What? Okay,
it's the dark mark unplugged.
Yes. All right. Hold on. I'm going to adjust this then so that we can hear everything a little bit better. Pardon me. Technical difficulties. While we're doing this, I would just like to point out that Beth is wearing a vampire velvet coat with a Jacobean ruff, and I have such a hard-on for this outfit.
I appreciate it. Oh,
thank you, people.
Goth Lapidus. Next time you go to Starbucks, you're going to goth.
Beth is much too hopeful for the goth ways. Okay.
You from Van Nuys, or is all my sacred noise just hurled straight into the void? Guess what I got don't project that far. My red throat and pawn shop guitar and my 05 keeps breaking down on the outskirts of this burning town. Oh, smug and preordained defeat, why do I even try? Out here where the freeway comes to die. I don't wanna die on the freeway. I don't wanna die. Oh my. So I hitch a ride to Boyle Heights, where bullets fly and silver bites, and my man's got a basement place where I record for easy rates, and I beat a car to hop into, scour the town for cheap fast food, just a couple exits up the left, yeah, past that burning pile of brick. Oh, flames and games, it's all the same. I'm a passerby out here where the freeway comes to die. Hey, and I don't wanna die on the freeway. Not the 405. To hell with the 170. Oh, I wanna stay alive. I wanna die on the freeway. I don't wanna die.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Yay. Who does, really? That's an anthem.
Thank you.
That's going to be huge.
As I said, I am not a guitar player.
You have
so
to come play that at On Cabaret.
First off, I love that song. And to quote your own lyrics, you are a superstar.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And so is Beth Lapidus. And Beth Lapidus, I wish we had more time. Please,
we're going to have more time.
The four of us are going to come in the studio soon. We're going to do an hour and a half. We're going to make up. I'm going to ask you about Louis C.K., Roast Battles, Roseanne, all sorts of stuff.
We're going to get into everything.
We're going to get into everything. But
until then, tell us, we'll see you at Rockwell.
Tell us how to get a hold of you.
Second Sundays at Rockwell. I'm at On Cabaret, UNCABARET, on all social. And Beth Lapidus, LAPIDES also. I'm both things.
And as I said, I was a little intimidated when I met you because of your reputation and what you've done artistically. But you're the nicest person. You're really cool.
I was so
surprised. I was a little intimidated when I first met you. And now, you're just so terrific.
Well, you're lovely, so you're very easy to be lovely to.
Oh, thank you very much.
And it was very nice to meet you this time, Hannah.
It was very nice to meet you as
well.
And
I always love to see my Savannah.
Oh, I love
that. Savannah will be playing on Cabaret soon.
Yes, she will. She'll be maybe May or June or July. We'll get a date.
Okay.
You know, we only have one Sunday each, so we'll...
Right. Okay, let's do a summer gig.
Yeah, absolutely. So your gig is at the Rockwell.
At the Rockwell.
Every second Sunday. You're going to be at the Troubadour this weekend.
I'm going to be at the Troubadour on Saturday.
And you jam all the time with at the Whiskey?
Yep. I'm at the Whiskey with Ultimate Jam Night a lot, which is just a bunch of rotating, it's like Clem Burke and just all these fucking legendary guys visiting town while they're on tour.
You did Motley Crue this week. You did Queen.
Yeah, Motley Crue, Queen. I got to do Ozzy, which was really fun because I love blood stuff. So I just got to spit blood on people.
Nice.
You got to catch her live. But
I do.
But tell us, come with me as a Troubadour. Anyway, and then you can go to the Rainbow. So... it's Savannah. How do people get a hold of your social media, and when is your album out? And we'll be streaming and all that.
All right, cool. I know we're on a deadline, so I will zip to it. It's at I am Savannah Pope. Savannah like the city in Georgia. Pope like the dude in the Vatican with the crazy hat. And it's a good name to remember, because just remember it's a fucked up name for a Jew.
Right.
Yeah, I am Savannah Pope. And then I'm on YouTube, SoundCloud, everything.
Beth. One second here.
We're getting in here.
Hannah, get in here.
Mess.
Hannah, get in here. Yes.
Bye.
Have a great day.
Bye, Beth.
I got to go too.
Oh, bye, Beth. Coat. Hey, guys, and I'll be at Monster Palooza this Sunday representing the Dark Mark show. So come say hi, get a photo, and I'll give you a shout out.
Absolutely.
Nice. Are you going to be in costume?
I might.
Okay. All right. Love a little cosplay. Yeah.
So it's a great weekend for everybody. You said SavannahPope.com. And the album, I missed the album because I was trying to get a picture with Beth.
Oh, excuse me. The album's coming out on the 26th of April. And you can already get a bunch of my music on Spotify. Again, it's just search Savannah Pope. It's,
title as well.
It's the title of the album is going to be Atlantis.
Right. No, mm-hmm. I have title, and you're on there.
Title. Oh, yes. I always forget about title.
But the title is Atlantis.
Sorry,
Savannah Pope, Atlantis.
Savannah Pope, Atlantis. And you can get a bunch of my stuff on Spotify already.
Right. I really need to go.
Okay, bye.
But... No, everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. And Savannah, you're the best. Thank you.
You are. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.